Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Christopher Vasey, who will be discussing his book, The Spiritual Mysteries of Blood, Its Power to Transform Body, Mind, and Spirit. Dr. Vasey is a naturopath specializing in detoxification and rejuvenation. He's the author of many books, including The Acid Alkaline Diet for Optimal Health and Natural Remedies for Inflammation. He is calling in from Switzerland, and this book is a little bit different. This book takes us out of the realm of the physical and explores how spirit connects with the physical in a very fascinating book. Thank you for joining us, Christopher. We appreciate your time.
Well, hello, everybody. Yeah, it's a pleasure for me, too.
Well, would you care to introduce the audience to your discovery in the text that you present in Spiritual Mysteries of the Blood, the German author that, I guess it was Dr. Well, no, wait a minute. I can't remember.
No, it wasn't
the
doctor.
No. Right. No, it wasn't. Well, tell his story, because it's a very fascinating story, and I guess this was what helped you make this connection.
Yeah. Well, as a naturopath, I have had many people coming to me for very physical ailments like rheumatism or eczema and so forth, and mm-hmm. they followed a diet, took different herbal remedies and so forth, and it's helped to cure them of their physical ailment, but also I noticed it changed their psychic states or their mm-hmm. frame of mind. Many of them said, well, you know, I'm feeling much better in my joints, but I'm also not as depressed as before, or I have found I'm more happy than before, or I feel more relaxed, patient, and so forth. And I was always wondering, why is it possible? How come change of diet and herbal plants can change their moods? And, mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have the answer, but one day I was introduced to a book whose title is In the Light of Truth, The Grail Message. It's a spiritual book which explains what is man, where does it come from the spiritual plane, why does it come here on earth, what's the meaning of life. And it also talks about how we as an immaterial spirit, I mean taken in the sense of soul, are linked, connected to our physical body. And the answer to this question in this book, the Grail Message, is that it is through the blood, and more precisely the blood radiations. So mm-hmm. we as a physical body, we as a spirit, we are linked to our physical body through thanks to the blood. And therefore, what's the consequence of that is that depending on the composition of the blood, we will be more or less correctly linked, and we will also grasp our surrounding in a different way. And that's the basic idea which is given in this knowledge, given in the book. And in the book I wrote, I explain that and give many examples to show that it's truly in this way. Because as a naturopath, I have seen many people change because of a change of diet, and therefore I can also give many examples to show that it's true. It's a new knowledge, but it's, if you read the book, then you see that it's correct, and when you put it in practice, well, it shows that it corresponds to reality.
In the long history of medicine, back before we had a lot of scientific input, doctors were taught that there were four basic temperaments of people.
Yes.
And would you like to discuss the temperaments and also how we came up with the term hot-blooded, cold-blooded, bad blood, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there are different groups of people. Well, people react differently to remedies. And doctors and naturopaths in the past have discovered that there were four basic groups of people. Therefore, people who are built in four different ways, physically mm-hmm. built, and thus this has an influence on the way they their mental attitude toward life. And to make a long story short, there are four temperaments: the sanguine type, and then the melancholic type, and then the bilious type, and then the lymphatic type, or not bilious, choleric type. And these
choleric
four groups are, according to doctors, have a difference built in their bodies, which leads them to act a bit differently and react differently to remedies. What is new in the Grail message, it says that it is really the blood composition which is important in that, and that's why there are those expressions to be cold-blooded, so keep very cool, calm, like a lymphatic, someone from the lymphatic temperament, or be hot-blooded, like the choleric temperament, because it is that, the depending on the composition of the blood, we react in a different way. And one interesting thing which is given, explained in the Grail message, is that beside these four temperaments, it can also be said that our life is divided in four phases, which correspond to the four different temperaments. In our childhood, it is the sanguine temperament, which makes us very enterprising, happy-going, with no fear. And that's necessary because the spirit which has incarnated in this body, which is growing, must get used to it, work to learn to use it. And this temperament is a help for the spirit because it gives it drive, enthusiasm, this wish to discover things. And then when we become teenagers, there's a big change in the blood's composition and radiation, which makes us pass to the melancholic temperament. There we start to think more, to see around us and to be struck by all the injustice, what's not fair, people who are starving, wars and so forth. It's a time where we reflect more on life and on its meaning. And this is a preparation for the time when we come into the adulthood, where our blood composition changes and corresponds to the choleric temperament, which makes us prone to want to work, to go forward, to build, to discover, to put our mark on life. And we are driven forward by this change of blood radiation and composition. And the last period in our life corresponds to old age, and there the blood composition changes for everybody, and it becomes, it corresponds to the lymphatic temperament, which makes us much calmer, cooler, not so active, not so prone to win over matter and realize things. It's more reflection on life, digesting what we did in our life and so forth. And again, it's a help which is given by nature, or shall we say the creator of nature, to help the spirit get so that the link between the spirit and the body is not so tight, and that the spirit can slowly get used to leave the earthly realities and to open itself to what will happen after death on earth, that is the moving of the spirit out of the body, and it's the life it's going to lead afterwards in the other world.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how the spirit comes into the body and when it comes into the body, when the body is in the womb.
Yes. That's a question which has been asked by man all through history. When does the spirit really incarnate in the physical body? Some say it's at conception. Others say that it's at birth. Others don't know too well, it's somewhere in between. In the Grail message, the spiritual book, it says it's in the middle of pregnancy. And the reason for that is that a spirit, a human spirit, is not something without form. It's not like a sphere or a cloud without form. It has a human form. It can only, therefore, incarnate in a physical body which also has a human form. And this, I won't go in the details, but it's at the middle of pregnancy. It's 4 months and a half, one week more or less, that the fetus has a human form. And that's the moment when the spirit can incarnate in the body which has been prepared for it during pregnancy. And now,
and basically, it needs enough blood then, right? I mean, it has to do with...
Because at the beginning of pregnancy, the embryo doesn't have much blood. It starts at the 12th day, but there's too little to be really a bridge for the spirit. But then it's half through the pregnancy, there's enough blood which can act as a link to the spirit.
And then I was fascinated by the part of the book that says that the blood survives death for a few days. The blood is still there. It hasn't been resorbed. And that Jesus had people rise from the dead, but only within a few days, like not weeks afterwards. That's fascinating.
Yes. Well, as it is explained in the Grail message, the spirit, it forms the blood to be able to come into the body. So when we die, usually we think that, well, most materialists will think that it finishes from one second to another, it's finished. But in the spiritual approach, it is known that the spirit, the soul, will move out of the body, but stay linked to it by a cord, which is called the silver cord, which, by the way, is also mentioned in the Bible as existing. And through this cord, the spirit is still linked to the body and the blood. And depending on how fast the spirit will move out of the move completely out of the body, the link, the silver cord, will stay there, and the blood will be still maintained as blood. By this, I mean that we do not sever ourselves from the body straight away. It can take one or more days to move away. And as long as the spirit is still linked to the body, the blood still exists.
And that's why in several traditions, like in India, in the Jewish tradition, and probably other traditions, the body is not cremated or otherwise tampered with for 3 days.
Yes. This is a worldwide rule, not to inter a body too soon. It's to let the spirit move out of the body slowly and smoothly as possible. But of course, that's not possible in very hot countries. There they have to put them in the earth very quickly.
That's true. So basically, at the end of life, we have a situation where the blood composition changes to allow this dissociation of the spirit from the body, in a natural sense, say with a natural death.
Yes. The composition of the blood and the blood radiation, which is emitted by the blood, is built, for one, by the blood composition. And the blood at the end of our life is produced by the body, but it's not so strong as before, so it radiates more in a weaker manner. But we, as a spirit, we also radiate, and the radiation which we emit as a spirit are linked to the radiation of the blood. But we, as a spirit, at the end of our life, as we can observe in many elderly people, we are not so eager to be on the earth anymore, to fight, to work, to earn, and so forth. So there's a weakening of the radiations coming from the spirit. And this weakening coming from both sides, the bridge of radiation becomes weaker and weaker, and suddenly it just the spirit separates from the body. And that's
so
death.
So how does the diet, you had spent much of your career treating disease with changing the diet, how does the diet and lack of vitamins and heavy metal toxicity affect the blood?
Well, our body produces blood, but it produces it with what we give it. So it's what we eat. And also, unfortunately, what comes into the body but should not be in the body because it's a poison or heavy metals which should not be in the body. So if someone eats in a certain way, his body will use these foods and to produce the blood composition. Now, if this diet of way of eating is deficient in one vitamin, for example, well, the blood blood composition will be lacking in that vitamin, and therefore the blood radiation too. So the link between the spirit and the body will not be absolutely correct, and that will bring a different problems or change, which can be physical. I mean, the body is not ruled by the spirit as it should. The spirit doesn't direct it as it could, or it changes our attitude towards life or the state of mind we have. I mean by that some people can have a loss of drive or unexplained sadness or irritability, depression, fears, lack of self-confidence, because there's something lacking in the blood composition. And that's something which is interesting to know, useful to know, because nowadays when someone lacks in confidence or is depressed, one always thinks of remedies, pharmaceutical remedies, or many people do, mm-hmm. to try and cure them, or psychotherapy. But it's also possible to help these people by changing their blood composition, which can be done by a change of diet. So now,
patients with carpal tunnel syndrome, for example, respond to B6, and a lot of people with depression also respond to B vitamins very well.
Yes, yeah. In the approach I give in my book, I also talk about food and not only vitamin and minerals, because, that's also an easier way to deal with the problem. If someone is in such a state, always of fears or depression, one way of dealing with it is to analyze what the person eats. So that mm-hmm. is to draw what we call the standard menu. What does the person eat and drink during the day? Basically mm-hmm. at breakfast, at midday, at supper, and in between. And when someone is questioned and you write everything down, the kind of food they eat at each meal. Of course, there are different variations at midday. It's not always the same, but they are written down. Then by studying the standard menu, it's possible to see what kind of food is overrepresented mm-hmm. or is underrepresented or is never present and so forth. I give all the details and to be very practical in my book, How to Analyze. Mm-hmm. And then it's then possible to see, well, this person has always this kind of psychic problem. He overeats this kind of food. We will ask him to eat less of these foods. Or he never eats milk products, and maybe we should introduce it to bring the body something which is lacking in the blood, which can help to build a good link with the body and cure the depression or so forth. So it's an easy way of helping a person. Of course, this does not exclude psychotherapy or so, or an effort from the person to be more, affirm himself better or understand life better, but it helps the person change, as
yeah,
can be observed.
I wanted to mention two things. One is that if people are mercury toxic, they're very, very prone to anger. And the other is that there is a great deal of heavy metal toxicity in the prison population, including lead and mercury and other things. And you suggest in your book that this high level of toxicity prevents their soul or conscience or whatever you want to call it from interacting tightly with their body, which might produce the sociopathic type of relationship.
Yes, Exactly, yeah. Like when someone has too much lead in the blood, it makes them a bit depressed, but also overreactive. And it was observed in a Swiss prison that the convicts had a higher level of lead than other people in the population. This, of course, is not an excuse for them, and we cannot make lead responsible for the way they acted. But what we can see is that having more lead, they were more excitable, more reactive, and they reacted too fast, too quickly, and badly to a situation. So, which makes their life much more difficult, because we all have our tempers, our character. Mm-hmm. But if in addition to that, our blood radiation puts us in a state where we are always excited and overreactive, we will have a lot of trouble to stay calm. And by curing, changing the blood composition.
So that brings up another interesting point of, trying to have some intervention within the prisons of detoxification and perhaps, good vitamin and mineral replacement to help maybe curb certain violent emotional tendencies within the population. Because it's well known that if it gets way out of control, you have prison riots, which are very damaging.
Yeah. Well, in England, they carried out a study in a prison. They gave the prisoners who wanted to all the vitamins they needed, better food, and whole food with not processed and so forth.
Right.
And they noticed that they were much calmer, more peaceful, cooperative, less less violent, in a significant way, which is a proof of this knowledge about the blood being a link between our spirits and the body.
Now that's fascinating. And how do processed foods interfere with the blood? What's the mechanism of that?
Well, the processed foods, nature has given us the food we need where we live, and we should eat this food whole. Not alter, change its composition. But processed foods is taking away one part of the nutrients of the foods. Like there's a big difference between whole wheat and white or whole rice and white rice, for example, or whole bread and white bread. There are many in the white bread, for example, there are many vitamins of the group B you mentioned a minute ago, which are lacking, and other minerals and which are lacking. And therefore, if someone eats his whole life white bread instead of whole bread, he will, after a few months or years, he'll be lacking in vitamin B, for example. And that will lead to a change of blood composition, which can then lead to different problems, psychic problem or frame of mind. And well, some people will say, well, we can find vitamin B in other foods. Well, it's nearly true, not too true, because vitamin B are mostly in whole grains, liver, and not much, mostly in those foods. So depending on what people choose to eat, they will be lacking in vitamin and minerals, which will change their blood radiation. And nowadays, many people eat refined foods, all the bread, the pasta, the biscuits, the oils are also, that's a different way of altering the processing foods. To get oil from olives, for example, if you press the olives, you'll get a certain amount of oil. But if you heat the olives first, to get them very hot, then you can get much more oil out of them, which is good for business, but which is not good for health, because when you heat an oil, the olives for the oil, it destroys the omega-3s and 6 and so forth, which are so necessary for our body and also blood composition.
There seems to be quite an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency Do you attribute that to the use of sunblocks and not being outside as much, or do you think there's something else involved?
I think that's one of the reasons you've mentioned, yeah. But the others from is that many children or adults also are always indoors. Mm-hmm. And there is a process that if you expose your skin to the sun, after 20 or minutes or so, it starts to produce vitamin D. Mm-hmm. But of course, if a youngster is always in front of TV or playing with his computer, never doesn't go outside to play in the sun and so mm-hmm. forth, there will be a lack of vitamin D produced by the skin. And if the diet is lacking in vitamin D, then the people are in trouble, of course.
Yeah, vitamin D is linked to immunity, so we see a lot more viral infections, and there's a lot more colon cancer, for one thing, and osteoporosis.
Yeah.
So it affects, you know, many different processes in the body. But
yeah.
I treat a lot of Morgellons disease, and they have some of the lowest vitamin D levels I see. You know, they're usually below 10. And, of course, they mm-hmm. have a severe immune problem.
Yeah. And that's why when we think of it nowadays, there's so many news information coming that this vitamin is so important. If we are lacking in it, we'll have a cancer or this kind of illness or another. What's the solution to that is to eat food which is grown organic because it has mm-hmm. all its vitamin, which is not
right.
processed. And it's just a return to nature. Nature has given us the food we need, but we thought we were clever than she was, and then we refined, we processed, we mm-hmm. and so forth, and we are all many of us are sick because of it. So the idea is, of course, to go back to nature, to follow the laws of health, the laws of nature, because we cannot come out of it. We cannot choose the reality in which we are. Nature is governed by specific laws, and we have mm-hmm. to respect them if we want to be healthy and happy.
Yeah, one of the worst things that happened in my lifetime was the trans fat problem that led to a lot of arterial and heart disease and stroke. The trans fats were made in order to extend the life of food. You know, with trans fats, the fats didn't go rancid. But what it ended up doing was creating a lot more cardiovascular disease.
Yes, yeah. In the food industry is more interested in business, making money, and therefore having mm-hmm. food which doesn't go bad too quickly and so forth, which is good. But it doesn't take into account all the health problem, because mm-hmm. to have healthy food, you've got to work harder in your fields, have organic agriculture and so forth. There's more energy involved, but it's much better because mm-hmm. then you're healthy and happy. And some people will say, well, organic food is much too expensive. But, and here I'm repeating what Adele Davis said, an American mm-hmm. nutritionist. She said, what is expensive is buying processed foods, trash food, because it lacks in vitamin and makes us ill. But organic food is not expensive because it gives us health.
Right. Yeah, you either pay now or pay later, depending
yes.
on
yeah,
that,
yeah,
what
exactly.
you see. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, what advice would you give the listening audience to get the best changes in their blood so that spirit could optimally interact with them through the blood? What advice can you give?
Yeah. Well, the general rule is to eat like nature gives us the foods. I don't mean mm-hmm. to eat everything raw. It can be cooked, but not processed food so that it's lacking in many vitamins and minerals, and not mm-hmm. Heating the oils which destroy the vitamin. not eat industrial foods, pre-cooked and all that, because it's too, it's been processed in a way or another. And also to eat whole foods, foods the way nature gives it, so from organic farms. And that's for plants, but also for meat or fish or cheese and so forth. Organic is much better because that's the way nature has given it to us. And just by doing that, which of course is a certain effort, people will feel much better very soon. But now there's a way of changing the food we eat in a more specific way, which is explained in my book. There's a whole chapter on it, a practical chapter, and that is with this establishing the standard menu, that is to write down everything we eat from the moment we get up to the moment we go to sleep, everything we eat and drink before breakfast, at breakfast, at the break at 9 or 10 o'clock, at midday, 4 o'clock, supper. Later on, many people eat a lot of foods later on, after supper, well, while watching TV, for example. And all that must be written down to have a clear picture of what the person eats. And then one has to ask ourselves different questions, which are figure in my book. What kind of food is overrepresented? So it can be some people eat meat at breakfast, a little bacon, and they eat a steak at midday and a hamburger at supper. Well, there's a lot of meat coming in the body, and this has a big influence on the blood composition and should be modified if the person is not feeling well. Or, as I said, some food do not figure at all in the diet of the person. People have totally cut out all the cheese and milk products, and that's is maybe useful for a certain time. Well, it's useful for persons who are allergic to dairy products, but for the others, and there are many who are following that restriction but do not need it, it would be better to reintroduce those foods if they never eat them, because that might give the blood, and it will give the blood something which is lacking and help to get a better blood composition.
I would suggest putting yogurt back in, because yogurt has a beneficial effect on the gut, too, a very beneficial effect.
Yogurt or cheese or kefir and so forth, and different possibilities. But then by analyzing what the person eats and then correcting, we can have quite a specific change. Individual change for the person in question. And then he has to eat in this way from now on, and he will see that he feels much better. But we are human beings. We have to face different situations. We can be live very calmly for several years and then have a very stressful time for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And when the situation changes, we have to change the food we eat. I mean, I know people who live very in a very peaceful way in the countries, in their farm, for example, and they eat a very vegetarian diet, no meat, no fish, and so forth. But as soon as they go in town, it's going to be hectic and stressful. They start to eat meat to change their blood radiation composition and to be able to face in a better way the stress of the big town or business in town and so forth. And I think we all do it instinctively. We eat differently in different situations, and that's a good thing.
So what is the benefit of eating local foods?
Well, the idea here is that we are born in a certain area, and that nature has our body is correspond to this area. The food in this area is the food our body needs. There is a correspondence, an affinity between the two, and that's the food that we should eat, local food. It would be a bit difficult to understand that nature would make us come on Earth in one area, but the foods we need comes from a totally other area. That would not be logical, and nature doesn't do anything illogical. So there's a very a relation between our food and the area where we come from. And if we start to eat food from other areas, we are eating foods which are meant for other people in other conditions, and therefore, well, I mean, drinking an orange juice every now and again is not a problem, but if someone is eating drinking orange foods like here in Switzerland where we have no oranges, it's not natural because we do not have oranges. And therefore, our body does not take such a great advantage of these foods. And by eating those foods, we are not eating local food, which would be better for us. And that can be observed by people. Sorry.
I'm sorry. The
that can be observed by people
diet.
Who...
Yeah.
That can be observed by people who emigrate. If an African comes into Switzerland, for example, he starts to eat like a Swiss person, he'll be in trouble because after a while, because his body is not used to this food, cannot take all the it needs in these foods to build a good blood radiation. And that's why when there were colonies in the past, like the English in India and so forth, the people living in English people living in India, for example, every 3 years, I think it was, had to come back to England to be in the climate and eat the foods of their origin to help them bear their stay in India. And then they would get better and they could go back for a few years, but they had to come back afterwards.
Yeah, what I was saying before is that if you compare the diet of the Eskimo in Alaska to the diet of, you know, someone in Africa who lives in a very sunny environment, that you can really see that the diets are entirely different and yet appropriate for each people.
Exactly, yeah. Woohoo, would you think that like Eskimos eating meat and fat the whole time
fat
because there's
all the time,
no vegetable around, it's all covered by snow, could be live healthier, healthy and be happy, while in Africa they, or some places they only eat fruits and a few vegetables and that's it. So it's really a huge change, yeah. But
very
that's it.
Different.
Nature gives us the food we need in the climate, in the area where we are. And the body is built to a bit differently in order to manage this kind of the foods from the area.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the blood type diet?
I think it's very interesting, but I'll say it straight away. It's not sufficient. There are many ways of many things we've got to consider in when we change the diet of someone, and I think the blood diet is something good. It's a great help, but in practice, it shows that if it corresponds to many people, for some people it doesn't help, or even it's bad, and that shows that there is more than just this way of tackling the question of diet. Some people, just to give an example, some people have a good liver. They can digest a lot of fat, and others not so good, so they can't. And they can be from the same blood type, but they should eat differently. Also, if someone is working, sitting the whole day in front of a computer with the only movement is to press on the mouse, then it won't... He won't be needing the same kind of food as someone who's digging holes doing heavy work. Even if they're of the same blood temperament, blood group, they will eat differently. It's a fact. So it's a help, but it's not sufficient, in my opinion.
I think that's true. So a lot of, you know, what I was taught was to be guided by intuition, that even the color of the food is important in spiritual nutrition, that you know, like if you were trying to work on your third eye area, eating blueberries would be a good idea, and you would actually want blueberries. You know, you would have a craving for them. It's a lot of following your intuition. When I was vegetarian, I used to have dreams about eating eggs. So that meant that I was getting in trouble with protein.
Yeah.
So I ate eggs because that was what I wanted, what I was guided to do.
Yeah. And I think, well, here we say it's more our instincts. We should listen to our instincts. Mm-hmm. The instinct talk, it's the intelligence of the body. It tells us what we have to do or eat. And the intuition comes from the spirits. It also guides us to show us what we have to do or eat and so forth. We have to listen more within the voice which speaks to us and shows us and guides us.
Right. Well, would you like to give me contact? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. But following our intuition is something which is not really appreciated by many people nowadays because we're so proud of our intellect, our brain, which with its rational reflections, that many people are not so open to their intuitions. They think it's not so sure, it's not so secure to follow these information. But it's an attitude towards life. Some people are more materialistic. They believe in material things like the brain, intellect, and some are more spiritually oriented and believe that the spirit exists, it talks with the intuition, and that we can listen to it. It will help us. Yeah, to give, you were asking if I could give my few information on the... Well, if people are interested in my books are sold in bookshops everywhere, in Amazon and everywhere. But if you want to know more about the books before buying them, you can go on my website, which is Christopher Vasey, in one word, Christopher Vasey. Vasey is V-A-S-E-Y. And then .ch. ChristopherVasey.ch. On my website, I present all my different books. There's a summary, there's the content of the book, there are articles, videos on different subjects. There's a lot of information for people who are interested in these fields. There are also books to download, free books to download, and that can be interesting for the people. Now, I would like also to give the website of the Grail Message. The Grail Message is this book, spiritual book, in which I discovered this knowledge about the Grail, about the blood composition being the link between the spirit and the body. And the website is Grail, G-R-A-I-L, grail-message.com. So grail-message.com.
Well, I'd like to end with a little comment about Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm a surgeon, and in a 30-year career have had quite a bit of interaction with Jehovah's Witnesses, who, of course, will not take blood transfusions. And what I've experienced is that once I've had the experience of having a patient with very low blood volumes due to accidents and the help of other Jehovah Witness physicians, that there are a lot of ways to get the blood back up with the use of Procrit, which is a hormone for blood, the use of high doses of B vitamins, especially B12 and folate, and high doses of iron, that the blood will rapidly come back up, and that we probably give way too many blood transfusions too easily when we probably could do this through other means. It just isn't well known. And so I just want to put that out there, that if you are in a situation where you have, you know, a low blood volume and they're recommending, and it's not an emergency situation where you're dying, but there are other ways to get your blood volume up rather than taking a blood transfusion, because there are inherent dangers in blood transfusions. And, you know, it makes the the thinking about the blood transfusion after reading this book, there, it brings up a lot of questions about what the effect of a blood transfusion can be on someone.
Yeah, and it's good that you brought up the subject, because physically, of course, there are different problems which can arise, but nowadays we know which blood group we can transfuse or not. But on the mm-hmm. psychic level, in relation with the blood composition we were talking about, mm-hmm. when even someone receives the blood of his blood group, exactly, it's quite, the composition of the blood is not necessarily so close to the one he needs. I mean,
right.
I'm talking, besides the blood group, there are other kind of information given in the blood, and they can be not too close to what the spirit needs, and the person will then, the spirit of the person will not be correctly linked to his body,
mm-hmm.
and this can be observed. He seems to be hindered in the way he thinks or expresses himself or acts,
mm-hmm.
and himself will say, I don't feel well, I'm not... I've got to pull myself together. He can feel he's not correctly linked to his body because the blood he receives doesn't correspond to what he needs. But of course, the body is continuously working to regenerate the blood. So after
mm-hmm.
a few days or weeks, the old blood will be the blood received will be eliminated and replaced by new blood produced by the body itself.
Right.
Which will correspond to the spirits.
Yeah. But it after reading the book, it's just very interesting to think about all of those issues that actually are quite controversial in traditional medicine. You know, I've seen many surgeons get very angry when the family will refuse the blood transfusion and then refuse to work with them. But really, you need to work. You need to use all of the knowledge available from the Jehovah's Witnesses physicians when you can, because, of course, really, I've seen some miraculous recoveries of blood volume in terms of just giving the right things.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.
Do you have
Thank
any
you
closing
to,
comments that you would like to make?
I'll be on the same line as you. There's a lot of knowledge around, and we should be more curious to discover new things. And I think in my book on the blood composition, there is a lot of information which is new for people and can help them a lot. What I've experienced here in the French-speaking part of Europe, that many people then read the book and say, now I understand what was wrong with me. I've changed my diet. I feel much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope
right.
that many people in America will take advantage of it.
Well, I hope so, too. It was a fascinating book, as I said in the introduction, that really explains a lot of things, including things that happen before birth and things that happen at death, and how diet really does change all sorts of things, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. Anyway, thanks, Christopher, for joining us. We've been interviewing Dr. Christopher Vasey, who is the author of Spiritual Mysteries of the Blood, Its Power to Transform Body, Mind, and Spirit. I'd highly recommend this book as new material. In medicine, and in holistic health, we hear the same things again and again, but this truly has a wonderful knowledge base that will help you understand how to maintain your health, and if you're a physician, how to help you maintain your patient's health. Thanks a lot, Christopher. I wish you a good day. This is Kay Taylor, The Untold Story of a Clairvoyant. And then on the 12th of September, Dr. Kugula's The Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment. And on the 19th, Candace Talmage, The Afterlife Healing Circle. Noetic Science, which will be the third Thursday in September, will be presented by the Corinne Kabbalah Center on the Kabbalah. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Susan Kalb. Please join us next week.